What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. What's up, man?
Not much. Just for the draft. It's so far away, but I just read more and more stuff every day. We got that Simmons news that we'll talk about, obviously, yep. But I was doing just a fan speak mock draft, and I'm just ready for it because there's so many options and there's so many avenues that this team could take in both free agency and the draft that can improve them drastically and put them right back in contention, because they're not too far off and they just need a couple more pieces, and I think they'll be right back where they were 2017.
Yeah, I'm getting excited for free agency too, and with, you know, Antonio Brown requesting a trade, there's a lot of guys that potentially could be moved as well. Duke Johnson, mm-hmm. potentially, now that Kareem is with the Cleveland Browns, which ends the whole speculation Kareem could have possibly been in Philadelphia, which I never knew if that was going to be something the Eagles looked into, but I just felt like it might be something they would consider with Doug Peterson's relationship with Andy Reid and the entire organization's relationship with Andy Reid. And, you know, they did that with Michael Vick in 2009. I just had a feeling that might happen, but the Browns do it, and that kind of almost adds another option for the Eagles to go out and get a guy like Duke Johnson that, wouldn't you agree, would fit this offense pretty well with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I definitely think so. This is a committee backfield. It always has been and probably will be as long as Deuce Staley is throwing those running backs through there. So why not get a guy that you know can catch passes right out of the backfield and hasn't been implemented to his fullest potential? And I think guys like Mike Groh and Doug Peterson could drum up a pretty good offense and get him some touches pretty easily if he were to be on this team.
Yeah, and it doesn't preclude you from adding another legit, you know, RB1 to really top off that rotation, get the clear guy. Whereas, you know, even if you have a rotation, even a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl, while LeGarrette Blount started off as that workhorse, or I wouldn't even call him a workhorse, but the lead back in that committee, it was eventually Jay Ajayi, and you could tell that he was the lead back. It just, you know, bringing in Duke Johnson, I would love a trio of maybe a rookie you get in the second round, or I don't know, maybe you go after a Mark Ingram in free agency, or you try to make a trade for someone. That addition, plus maybe Corey Clement healthy, and a Duke Johnson, I really like that trio. So I don't know, it's interesting, but the Eagles have a lot of decisions to make with running back and with defensive line, which we'll get into on the second and third segment. As a former Eagle and a familiar name is back on the open market, could we see a reunion with him? We're going to get into that in the second segment. But for right now, there's also a position that they need to add, I think, some speed to and some talent, whether it's through the draft or through free agency. And it's wide receiver, Gino, but I don't think it's going to be Golden Tate. He tweeted out yesterday in response to an Adam Schefter tweet that the Falcons had re-signed a linebacker to a one-year contract, that Golden Tate's like, oh, I didn't realize we could sign extensions before March. That's good to know. Almost kind of nudging the Eagles like, hey, let's maybe get something done, or, you know, the Eagles haven't really tried to extend him. And I truthfully, and I just wrote an article, you can go check it out on LockedOnEagles.com. Gino, I don't think they should go after Golden Tate. I don't think they should try to extend him. What are your thoughts? You shared on the podcast yesterday, but I just want to get further into it.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I don't think Golden has much leverage, and I just don't think this is the market that you're going to be able to sign him an extension. Because look at all the teams right now that have young quarterbacks. You look at the Bills with Josh Allen. You look at Arizona with Josh Rosen, maybe Kyler Murray they bring in. You have Sam Darnold in for the Jets. And all these teams that need wide receiver help have boatloads of cap space. I mentioned yesterday the Colts too, and they need help at wide receiver. And this class is not that deep. He's going to get a bag. I tweeted that to you, that he's going to get paid, and this Eagles team just strictly can't afford to pay him. And we have Nelson Agholor, who is a slot receiver. You can't have two of them. I mean, you can, but you can't justify paying $22 million combined for two slot receivers. That's just not how the NFL works.
Yeah, and also a team that came to my mind is someone like San Francisco. If they didn't get Antonio Brown,
there's
which
another
is the
one
speculation,
for you.
I mean, you add Golden Tate into that Kyle Shanahan offense, that seems like someone that Shanahan would love to game plan with when Jimmy Garoppolo comes back at quarterback in 2019. So, and that's what I wrote in the article, was just that the market he might have in free agency, where players with his production, the four of the last five seasons – he has surpassed 90 receptions. He's had 90-plus receptions in four of the last five seasons. Guys that have those kind of numbers get paid in free agency. I mean, look at a guy like Sammy Watkins last year who doesn't even have that kind of production throughout his career. He has one 1,000-yard season. I don't think he has played a full 16-game season maybe ever, unless he played 16 with the Rams last year, but he hasn't ever been able to stay healthy. And the Chiefs made him the sixth highest paid receiver in football last year, paying him $16 million annually. So Golden Tate hits the open market, a guy that's consistently put up big numbers while it's pretty much solely been through the slot. A team, like you said, with a young quarterback would love to get, I mean, a Bills team with Josh Allen trying to grow his short game, trying to grow his game over the middle of the field. A guy like Golden Tate, the Bills, I'm sure, would love to pay him a lot of money when they're top five in salary cap. So I just don't think money-wise it makes sense unless he's willing to take an extreme discount. And even if he was, which he might be willing to, considering he has voiced his, you know, desire to stay with Philadelphia, I still wouldn't take him, Gino, because like you said, just the schematic fit. When me and you were both pretty excited at the deadline, I just more so thought Tate and Aguilar would both be able to produce more on the outside than I guess they really did. I think we gave them maybe too much credit as outside receivers. And like you said, Nelson Aguilar's already here. He's 6 years younger. His targets went, his receptions in the first half of the year went from 41 without Tate to 23 mm-hmm. with Golden Tate. And to me, the same plays that Peterson was scheming to get Aguilar in space in the first half of the season, I thought was much more efficient than those same plays going to Golden Tate in the second half of the year. I don't know if you agree with that.
I definitely think so. And I think this team has a bigger need than bringing Golden Tate back. There's a lot of resources that they're going to have to allocate elsewhere. But like the trade deadline came around, we were, like you said, we were glamoring over that Golden Tate pick. But there was another name thrown around for the Eagles that piqued my interest, and you knew it piqued my interest because I mentioned it on the podcast, that I definitely think this team could take a look at, and there are other receivers just like him that could definitely benefit this team more than a Golden Tate, and that's a Robbie Anderson or even a John Brown. Those two guys can fly down the field, and that's what they have to address, is that field stretching wide receiver.
Yep.
I mentioned yesterday I don't think Mike Wallace is going to come back unless late into the offseason towards camp they don't have a receiver or somebody gets hurt that they need to bring in a veteran option to stretch the field. But there are guys out there in this draft, in free agency, guys like John Brown and Robbie Anderson, and then you look in the draft, like guys like Emmanuel Hall out of Missouri. There are plenty of options, cheaper options, at a position that, frankly, you have your number one and two solidified at this current point in time.
You have two tight ends, too, in Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert that command targets over the middle.
Definitely. Exactly. And that's, you can't clog up the middle of the field. I always say, you know that I say it, you win the games by going through the middle of the field with your tight ends, with your guys over the middle, but you need to open up the field to open up the middle of the field. If you can't take the top off the defense like you saw a lot last year, they're just going to bring the defensive backs down and make you beat them in play zone against you and just keep everything in front of you. But once you open it up, like we saw in 2017 with Torrey Smith, things were electric, and they really need to get back to that style of play, because that's who Wentz is. He's that gunslinger. He wants to throw it down the field. You've seen it. He's forced the ball down the field, and he had a difficult time doing it this year because, frankly, he didn't have that type of receiver, and this team absolutely needs to bring a guy in like that. Yes, Golden Tate did enough to get us to the playoffs. Yes, he contributed. Yes, he's probably going to be the biggest name outside of Demaryius Thomas in free agency this year. But there are younger, cheaper, and more efficient options for what this team needs going forward that they can definitely invest in.
And Nelson Aguilar was a deep threat last year, but he didn't do what Torrey Smith did on the outside, where you had to worry about that potential deep threat. While Torrey Smith didn't really put up the numbers, he was that threat on the outside that you had to always take into account. And guys like DeSean Jackson were so well known for that in Philadelphia in the past. And while Aguilar made those plays down the field, a lot of them came from the slot, where you're not always going to be watching Aguilar deep down the field, considering they've used him in so many other ways in the past 2 years since they moved him inside. But I'm with you. You know, you thought when you brought Tate in that he was going to help with that run after the catchability and those deep plays. He only had one catch over 20 yards this year, and he had three over 15. So he just did not make the impact that we thought he was going to. And yeah, he scored the game-winning touchdown against the Bears, and it was worth the trade for me. But they should still, to me, let him walk in free agency. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When me and Gino come back, we're going to get into a potential reunion with one Mr. Vinny Curry. He was released by the Buccaneers. We're getting to that next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, Louie DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. So the first segment, we kind of got into Golden Tate and whether the Eagles should or should not extend him and let him walk into free agency. How about flipping the switch, Gino? Let's go to the defensive side. Vinny Curry was released by the Buccaneers after just one season, played 42% of the snaps. He only had 2.5 sacks last year. We all know he was well-known with the Eagles, a second-round pick in 2012. Had a 9-sack season in 2013, was a solid rotational pass rusher that helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl in 2017. What do you think about a potential reunion with the Eagles?
I think it's a good fit. I think there are a lot of other options that could be cheaper and more useful in this offense. I mean, in defense, rather, because Vinny Curry wasn't the greatest in run protection, but they do like their defensive ends to get after the quarterback, so that isn't the biggest hang-up. I don't hate the idea at all. I was always a big Vinny Curry fan. He was the one guy in that draft that I really wanted. And I always get hung up on like one or two guys in those late rounds. Like a couple years ago, it was Cam Sutton, the cornerback out of Tennessee. And Vinny Curry out of Marshall was my guy. I loved what he did for the team when he was here. Unfortunately, Tampa's moving to a new front. That happens in the NFL. So this is the time that these teams, these evaluators are going to swoop in and get guys like Vinny Curry's on cheap deals. Didn't really prove themselves last year. Maybe you could get them on a one-year type prove-it deal. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world, and it just goes to show you how many options this team is going to have at defensive end. I mean, you could just look at the list just going down. You got guys like DeMarcus Lawrence. You got Frank Clark. You got Brandon Graham. You got guys like all the way down, Trey Flowers, Deion Jordans of the world. There's guys all over the board that you can, even a Cameron Wake, like he's 37, but he could still get after the quarterback. There are options for this team, even though Brandon Graham is going to leave in free agency, that they could fill that role without a doubt. I think that's one position, and I think a lot of the positions that the Eagles have needs for are going to all come up at the same time with big draft classes and big free agency classes that are going to allow them to fill those positions of need at cheaper values and not overpay for positions that are like a Golden Tate free agency, where those guys, they're going to be at the top of the class, but are they really at the top of the class? Like, if you were to scheme things out, like right now, DeMarcus Lawrence obviously is one of the top 5 defensive ends in football. Frank Clark obviously is one of the top 10 defensive ends in football. Same with Brandon Graham. Like, these classes are going to be some of the ones that we remember 3-4 years down the road where these guys end up. And I think Vinny Curry could just be one domino to fall for this edge class. And the Eagles are going to find guys that contribute to this team. Could it be a Vinny Curry? I absolutely think that is an option.
Yeah, look, with Derek Barnett already and Michael Bennett still on the edge, even if Brandon Graham walks, this is someone that you could bring in, a Vinny Curry, to be that third or fourth option in a rotation with a young guy that you bring in. I like the idea. He's kind of like Brandon Graham, where you look at the stats and he's only had one season where he really got to the quarterback sack-wise. Mm-hmm. He had 9 sacks in 2014. Outside of that, his best year was 2013, where he had 4 sacks. You look at the past couple of years, in Tampa Bay, he had 2.5. He had 3 in the Super Bowl season, 2.5 the year before, 3.5. So while the sack numbers don't really come up for Vinny Curry, he was always a guy that was getting to the quarterback. He was getting QB pressures, and like Brandon Graham, that was huge for the Eagles on the defensive line. I put up a poll on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds or at DiBiase LOE or at Gino _ LOE. Would you rather bring back Vinny Curry or Chris Long maybe as that third or fourth option? Let's just pretend here that Brandon Graham does get a pretty lucrative deal somewhere else and they do want to draft a rookie defensive end, but hey, you still want to bring in another guy that can help you win right away. Could it be Curry, or would you bring back someone like Chris Long, who had 6.5 sacks last year? The fans have spoken. 74% say Chris Long, 26% say Vinny Curry. I was kind of surprised by the lopsided result. Wow. Gino, what do you think about that?
I think they would both play different roles, so it's definitely a tough comparison. I voted Vinny Curry just because I think he can contribute on first and second down more than a Chris Long could, because at this point in his career, he's that situational, I keep referring to it as the Dwight Freeney-esque role, that third down pass rusher who's going to get you 4 to 7 sacks a year and is going to create a couple forced fumbles, but Vinny Curry, he's still 30 years old, still in the prime of his career. There's a reason why Tampa signed him to that deal last year. He could definitely come in right away and contribute to this team more so than a Chris Long can, but it's definitely going to be fun to see what they do at that position because there's so many different options. Do you bring in a top end like they said they wanted to? There were rumors of that. Do you go move up in the draft to get one of the elite guys? Do you stay put where you are? Do you wait in the draft? There's so many options because there's so much depth there that maybe a couple of these defensive end guys aren't even signed until after the draft because there's just so many of them. I definitely think that could happen. I mean, outside of DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark, those guys are going to get massive contracts. A lot of those depth guys, when you're starting to get into names, like I said, like Cameron Wakes, those situational pass rushers, they're going to be there in those later months. And I think this team is, once again, going to load up. They're going to go 4-5 strong. You still have Michael Bennett. What are you going to do? Can you bring in another, like a 1-3 tech defensive tackle, keep Bennett on the outside? Do you bring in an edge rusher, keep Bennett inside? There's just so many options for this team because they have so much versatility along the line that there's really a no-lose scenario unless you draft like just a run-stuffing defensive tackle who really can't get after the football. I just think there's so many options for this team that whoever they do sign, whoever they do draft, is going to play a major role. And I trust this front office enough to get a guy that is going to contribute, whether it be a rookie and he's in there like a Derek Barnett did in those situational roles, or you bring in an older guy to be your situational rusher. I just think there are so many options, a Chris Long, a Vinny Curry, that they're really going to do no wrong, in my opinion, outside of overpaying Brandon Graham, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Curry, kind of almost with Frank Clark and all these players you're talking about, we've talked about on the show, this might push Graham's value down. I think it's even more likely now that maybe they bring back Brandon Graham. But if they don't, Vinny Curry is a nice, you know, second option, a plan B.
Absolutely.
He was owed $8 million in 2019. The Buccaneers got out of that with no dead money. He's not going to command that much money on the open market. I think Philadelphia could get him on a pretty reasonable deal. Chris Long's on for, what, $5.3 million right now? I think they might be able to get Vinny Curry around that range, if not cheaper. And like you said, he can help out more on first and second down. He's also 3 years younger, so he's someone that you can rely on more for the future. And per Jeff Mosher, Vinny Curry will keep all options open, but he has his eyes on what's going on in Philadelphia. So, you know, he's watching what's going to happen here. If Brandon Graham walks, if they free up that $5 million with Chris Long, Vinny Curry could be back in Philadelphia. It'll be interesting.
I don't think it's out of the realm. This team has been primed to do it. You've seen it with Jordan Matthews. And I said yesterday a lot that this league is a business. And Dan Hatman, I always remember when I talked to him during the Scouting Academy, he said that good organizations will buy assets low and sell them high. Yes, it's a basic economic principle, but to hear that from an excellent mind in football, that's really what goes on. And Vinny Curry right now, he's an asset that has value, but right now he just got released from a team that kind of sputtered. So what does the league value him at right now? Can you get him on one of those lower deals? Are you going to sign him under what his value should be? I absolutely think so because there's so much depth at that position. He just got released. He's 30 years old. I think he's an absolute home run option. I would hate to say it like that, but I really do think if you were to sign Vinny Curry and he was your third pass rusher or fourth pass rusher,
great. For the value,
it would be a shot out of the park. You're not going to sign him to a long-term deal, but a 1-2 year deal, maybe even a 3 year deal with not a ton of guaranteed money. I'm totally down with that idea.
I really like the idea of Vinny Curry here and then a first or second round pass rusher. I just think that combination
absolutely.
Of youth and experience with Curry and Bennett and then Barnett and a young guy, I really like that four-man rotation there. Let's take another break here. We're going to continue with our defensive line talk because a potential candidate for the Eagles in the first round might be taken off the list after an injury suffered this week. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, two segments down, one to go on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. We are now getting into some injury news, and it's unfortunate, Gino, because this was your guy, defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State. Much
Fletcher
like
Cox.
Fletcher Cox, that's right.
You got it.
Filling in for the footsteps of Fletcher Cox, he tore his ACL in training this week, and that is tough because, you know, he was projected as high as top 15, Geno, and with the Eagles, they can use interior help as well. We don't know what the future of Timmy Jernigan is yet, and even if they brought in Timmy Jernigan for another season, they need another defensive tackle to rotate. Jernigan had that injury last year, and we saw what happened when he was gone. They were rotating guys like Haloti Ngata and Trevon Hester, and it just Fletcher Cox had to really carry the load in the middle, and this was a guy now that you could potentially have as an option at 25. Maybe you try to move up for a player like this. He has pass rush ability, 5 sacks a couple years ago. This is tough news.
Yeah, it really stinks, and it was unfortunate for the kid because he was disallowed from going to the NFL draft due to some legal issue, which was going to push his value down. But I've kept reading everywhere. I've been all over this kid. I watched his tape. He just is a get-after-the-quarterback defensive tackle, and that's exactly what this team needs. You look at guys like Tim Jernigan, why he didn't succeed in Baltimore, because he was playing a two-gap style scheme. He comes to Philadelphia, he's able to get upfield, get after the quarterback, and that's what they value in their defensive tackles. And Jeffrey Simmons was just that. Huge body, huge frame. The legal issues was going to make him drop a little bit, which probably would have put him right in that 20 to 25 range for Philadelphia. He was a good prospect, but much like guys in the past, you got the Jalen Smiths, the Sidney Jones. We've seen it right in our own backyard.
Yeah,
top
right.
Talents going down to injury. Somebody's going to get a very lucky pick on day two or day three with him. But ultimately, it really does stink. It hurts that elite top talent of the interior defensive line. I was hearing some people saying he was almost fifth talent-wise on their board, which is kind of absurd to think
That's
about
insane,
that he would
yeah.
have fell to 25th. But it's really unfortunate. I tweeted today, you saw it, that we should wrap Nasir Adderley in bubble wrap until the draft. But I do think there's a lot of options for them at 25. Yes, it does take a hit, but I'm still not wavering from taking one of those top 5 to 7 defensive tackles in that first round.
Yeah, this one's tough, and what do you think he's going to be? I mean, Sidney Jones was a second-round pick. You think he's still a early day two pick? You think maybe he falls to the third round? I can't imagine he falls further than beginning of the third round.
I would say so. I think somebody's going to value him highly, and I don't think it's a bad move because, look, what is it? It's February. An ACL, what Carson Wentz got back in 9 months, he could be a guy who comes on maybe November, early December,
yeah,
fresh legs for a team, making a playoff run. Eagles, they got 2 second-round draft picks. Maybe they move back in the draft, pick up a third or a fourth round pick, get some extra picks, and then take him with your second round pick and get him on the team because he has all the skills in the world. He's a big body, and frankly, what this team needs is bigger bodies next to Fletcher Cox, because once you double Fletcher, those guys on the edge and in the interior have to win their one-on-ones, and if you get guys that can get after the quarterback like a Jeffrey Simmons, like a Draymond Jones, like even an Ed Oliver type, those are the guys that are going to win you football games because mm-hmm. you've seen how efficient this team was when they got after the quarterback, how great their defense was
especially
starting
down the
to come.
Stretch, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Down the stretch when you can allow your secondary to play their more natural off coverage because you're getting to the quarterback quicker. And they frankly would have been absolutely over the world if we got Jeffrey Simmons at 25, but it's unfortunate for him. Good thing is there's a lot of depth in free agency and a lot of depth in this draft to get a guy that could fill that need for this team.
Yeah, look, the defensive line could look very similar. They could bring back Brandon Graham and Tim Jernigan, or they could bring in a big fish from free agency. They could bring back someone like Vinny Curry and then a rookie. The defensive tackle spot can be completely different. It's just the scenarios at defensive line, they're all over the place, and it's very interesting. But the one thing just I've not wavered from is that this team is going to have defensive line as a strength once again next year. They're going to invest multiple assets at the position.
Definitely.
They're going to, whether even if they bring back a Tim Jernigan, I still think they're going to draft a defensive tackle with one of those picks. Defensive end, they can bring back Vinny Curry. They can bring back Brandon Graham. They can add a other free agent, maybe a Ziggy Ansah. Somebody
they want
like
to bring in a top-end defensive end. They
right.
said it. There's news about it, so I could see it happening.
And yet, still, they could potentially take a defensive end in this class. So I'm not wavering at all. I'm not scared that the defensive line suddenly be going to become a liability. Because if you mess up in this offseason, by not adding good pass rushers, I mean, that's just on you. And Howie Roseman has been really good at it. Him and Joe Douglas have a great track record when it comes to pass rushers and defensive linemen the past couple years. So for my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I think it's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please follow our accounts on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and our Locked On Eagles account at Locked On Birds. Please subscribe to the show. Check out our written content on LockedOnEagles.com. And as always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.